everyone. This is Leslyn Keith, President of the Board of Directors at Lipedema Project and Director of Research. Welcome to Living Well with Lipedema. Today, I have an excerpt from an interview with Dr. Erez Dayan from our Lipedema Worldwide Summit held in 2016. Dr. Dayan completed his training in plastic and reconstructive surgery at the Harvard Plastic Surgery Program. He is currently the medical director of the Vance Plastic Surgery Institute in Reno, Tahoe, Nevada. Dr. Dayan, in this excerpt, talks about the relationship between lymphedema and lipedema and how fat and lymphatics work together. He also discusses potential causes of lipedema and how lipedema is different from obesity.
You know, really, from a medical perspective, lymphedema and lipedema are, as you say, cousins. There's certainly an interconnection between fat hypertrophy and lymphatic dysfunction. And really, my involvement in lymphedema was really sparked by Dr. Mark Smith and Dr. Joseph Dayan back when I was in my general surgery residency in New York. I had the fortune of working with them, and they were really pioneers in looking at lymphedema and trying to understand what the pathogenesis was and how to safely treat lymphedema. So some of our early studies looked at all our available imaging modalities, which included MRI and lymphoscintigraphy and indocyanine green, as well as lymphangiography. And we really took all the tools available to us to try to scientifically look at patients with lymphedema. And what we noticed was that patients that had early stage lymphedema demonstrated a fluid-filled extremity. But once the lymphedema became more progressive, their extremity became more fibrotic and more fat-filled. So what we concluded from that, essentially, was that patients with early-stage lymphedema may benefit from treatments such as lymph node transfer or lymphatico-venous bypass, these sort of physiologic procedures. But patients with later-stage lymphedema actually had more of a fat hypertrophy. And in those circumstances, they would potentially be best treated by an excisional procedure such as liposuction or surgical excision. So it was really the early stages of beginning to understand the interconnection between the two diseases. And since then, there have been a number of publications by Dr. Babak Marara at Memorial Sloan Kettering and Aaron Green here at Boston Children's Hospital looking at this link between obesity and lymphatic dysfunction, and what this connection is becoming more clear as more investigators are looking at it. When you look at an extremity that's enlarged, it can be for a number of reasons. It can be for adipose or fat cells that are individually enlarged, or it can be cells have multiplied in number, meaning more cells, or there can be fluid in that extremity within the fat cells. So trying to understand what the content of the extremity truly is, what is causing the potential pain, enlarged size of the extremity, that's part of one of the big questions here, and what the interrelationship is between fluid and fat and fat cell growth is really one of the prime questions. So we know from certain studies that in early stages of lipedema, the lymphatics are functioning normally, and we can look at that with different imaging modalities. But we also know that as lipedema becomes more severe, the lymphatic seems to be dysfunctional. And why that is not necessarily clear, but it is being actively studied. And I do think with clearly more awareness and improved imaging, as well as, you know, more scientific attention, I think that ultimately these major questions would be answered. But that is one of the major questions. What specifically is the interconnection? We know that there is an interconnection, and that's been shown, but the actual mechanism, I think, is certainly up for debate. Lipedema seems to disproportionately affect patients who have some degree of being overweight, because we know that it is a disease of adipocytes that is not affected by diet and exercise. At the same time, there are sort of overlapping features here that I think has really been problematic in defining the disease and defining the prognosis of this disease and diagnosis of this disease. So the issue is, what really is causing lipedema? Is it, as Foldy suggests, an issue with leakage of capillaries and increased permeability leading to leakage of proteins? that may cause pathologic angiogenesis and proliferation of blood cells and its relationship with VEGF or, you know, other mechanisms which have been proposed. So these issues are not exactly clear. There's also a question, you know, there's a hereditary link with lipedema, and perhaps there's a genetic connection that really hasn't been looked at too carefully scientifically, but perhaps there's a genetic connection here and a genetic mutation that would explain, for example, why lipedema disproportionately affects women over men. So perhaps there's a sex linkage to this potential genetic connection. So I think that from a diagnostic standpoint, a big issue here is that we don't really know exactly what causes lipedema, although we do have a treatment for lipedema, which in some cases means liposuction, a variety of types, as an excisional procedure to remove excess adipose tissue. But the actual cause of lipedema is not exactly clear, but we do know that it's unaffected by diet and exercise, so really not the same thing as obesity. It's a different entity.
That was a wonderful excerpt from Dr. Diane. Thank you so much for being a part of our summit in 2016. And thank you to all of you, our listeners. If you haven't already subscribed to our daily flash briefings of tips, tools, and research about lipedema, you can subscribe at Apple, Spotify, Amazon Alexa, or here at this website, lipedema-simplified.org/flash, where you'll find an archive of all of our flash briefings. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next time for another Living Well with Lipedema flash briefing.